Tonight we're going to look at three questions about forgiveness. 2 weeks ago, I guess I put in the bulletin a note that suggested we might talk about the matter of forgiving ourselves tonight, but in God's providence, things worked a little bit differently in my study, and so we'll tackle that question perhaps next week. Tonight we're going to look at three questions that have to do with forgiveness, and we're still looking at this injunction which is given to us by the Lord Jesus in Luke 17, verse 3. Be on your guard if your brother sins. Rebuke him if he repents. Forgive him. We have seen that repentance is the clear requirement for forgiveness, and that when an individual repents, this repentance must be followed by forgiveness. We have seen that, generally speaking, apologies do not fit the bill. They are not what Jesus requires here. Why? Well, too often apologies leave matters open-ended, where repentance and forgiveness closes a matter. And that's really important. We're always talking about putting matters behind us. Repentance and forgiveness does this. Why? Because real forgiveness is a promise not to bring up a matter again. And that's what God does for us. What a great thing. When He forgives us, He promises never to bring it up again. And when we forgive someone else, we promise never to bring up the matter again. And we saw last week that when we keep our promise, a wonderful thing can happen. We can begin to forget the whole incident. And that's a great thing, too. But then a question arises. Can we not forgive without repentance? What's the deal here? Shouldn't we be able to forgive without repentance? Why this strong emphasis upon the fact that repentance is so necessary? Well, let's tackle this question. Again, in attempting to answer it, I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. We've looked at this text before. 1 Peter 4, 8 says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. When we love someone very much, we overlook things in the life of that individual. And we're not always picking. That's what love is all about. Covering the sin, which means not allowing the sin to come between the two of us. And it's interesting here because our own hearts are at issue here. How much we really love. And I think Peter is correct. Love does cover a multitude of sins. Tremendous thing. That's why we need to pray that love would abound in our families. Love would abound in the midst of our congregation. Love would abound. Because love does cover a multitude of sins. Peter has a couple of different proverbs in mind, no doubt, here. If you turn back in the book of Proverbs to Proverbs 10 and verse 12, we see a couple of things in Proverbs 10:12. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. when we get into a situation and we stir it up with our words or with our actions, it's not an indication of love. Hatred stirs up strife. We don't want to be in that kind of situation. We ought not to want to do that. But love covers all transgressions. What we need to do is learn to overlook, not to challenge at every point. You know, when we treat our children like this, we are very apt to break their spirits. We continually challenge them at every point. And that can happen for adults too. But that still doesn't answer the question, does it? We may say, well, what about the Lord Jesus Christ? He forgave, didn't he? Without requiring forgiveness? What about his words on the cross? We just read them in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Important words of the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. What is this? What is Jesus doing here? Are these actually words of forgiveness? Is Jesus forgiving those who have crucified him? No, I don't think that's exactly what's taking place here. Look at the words of the Lord Jesus again. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. These words of the Lord Jesus are a prayer. A prayer that God the Father would forgive those who are crucifying the Lord Jesus. Christ does not grant forgiveness here. And these words of the Lord Jesus ought not to be used to say that Jesus is granting forgiveness without repentance. No, that's not the case. Jesus is praying. And the prayer of Jesus is answered, not in every case, but it is answered. And how is the prayer of Jesus answered? How is forgiveness granted? What is the requirement? Well, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, for instance, and those individuals who heard his great sermon on the day of Pentecost, when they cried out, what are we going to do? Because their hearts were pierced. Peter's immediate response was, repent. Later on, when Peter was preaching, he said words like this, repent therefore and return that your sins may be wiped away. How was it that the prayer of the Lord Jesus was answered? The prayer of the Lord Jesus was answered through individuals coming to repentance and then turning in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. The thief on the cross is a good example. In Luke 23, again, verses 39 and following, it says, and one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered, and rebuking him, said, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds? This fellow, hanging on one of those crosses, realized he was there justly. He deserved what he was getting. But here was this other fellow, Jesus, not very far from him. He had done nothing wrong. And this thief was repentant. Look at what he has to say. Verse 41, "And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds." He understood why he was there. And he understood who this Jesus was. Look what he says in verse 42. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Repentance, faith in Jesus. That's real conversion. We've talked about that much, haven't we? That real conversion consists in an understanding of our sinfulness, turning away from it, and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith. And what does Jesus say? Verse 43. "And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Real conversion that ends up in this individual being with Jesus in paradise. How does forgiveness come about? Through the avenue of repentance. That's always the case. Well, that brings us back, I think, to this principle of 1 Peter 4:8, that love covers a multitude of sin. Love does throw the covers over the sins of others. Love does do that. But you know, sometimes, and you know this as well as I do, sometimes the situation gets a little aggravated. The sin is repeated. And it's just not possible for you to keep throwing the cover over that sin. Then what happens? Well, Luke 17, verse 3 comes into play then. "If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him." You see, the principle is simply this. Love covers a multitude of sins. You do that, and you do that, and you do that, and you pray that God will give you love for everybody around. But then the circumstances arise where you just can't, for some reason, you just can't keep throwing the cover over the sin. And so the principle of Luke 17 has to be applied in the situation. I think this is what Jesus is getting at. In Proverbs, we have again repeated what Peter tells us in Proverbs 17. And if you'd look there with me, we see, I think, exactly what we're talking about. Proverbs 17, 9 and 10. Proverbs 17, 9 and 10. "He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends." How true it is. Love covers the sin. Gossip undercuts the individual and separates. It's very true. But look at what's connected with this proverb. A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. You see, love covers sins and you cover sins with love as much as you can. But then the time comes when you can't keep throwing the cover over the sin. You must follow Luke 17:3. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And this is the hope of the Lord Jesus. A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool. I know I've been in situations where an individual has come to me and said, "Denny, this is what you've done," and it's been like ripping my heart out. I said, "Oh, how could I be so dumb? How could I be so dumb?" And that rebuke just penetrates like a sword. It brings about change, repentance, you see. That's what Jesus is talking about. And so the answer to the question really is, can we forgive without repentance? No, not really. The principle of Luke 17:3 still stands. But then you might say, if repentance is really required before I can grant forgiveness, then I need to see it. How do I know this individual is repentant if I do not see it? Well, let's go back to Luke 17 and see what Jesus says. It's interesting. Luke 17:3, Jesus says, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' forgive him." No, you don't need to see a thing. If an individual comes to you and says, "I repent," what are you obliged to do? Forgive him. Forgive her. If he or she says, "I repent," you may say, "Wait a minute. That doesn't give me any opportunity to see fruit. Is there really fruit from this repentance that this individual says he or she has?" I don't know. And the repetitive nature of what Jesus is saying proves the point here. Look at verse 4 again. "And if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you forgive him." My goodness, there's not even time here for us to see a change. Is there? The individual says, "I repent," you forgive him. That's the command of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Isn't this exactly how it is between you and the Lord very often? It's how it is with me. "Lord, I've done it again. Forgive me." "15 minutes later, same thing." Another 15 minutes goes by, the same thing. Well, maybe that's an exaggeration, but you know what I mean. Now, how do you want the Lord to deal with you? When you come before the Lord and you're repentant and you say, "Lord, forgive me," what do you expect? You expect the Lord to forgive you, don't you? And the promise of God is there. Are you going to be more stringent with others than you want the Lord to be with you? I doubt it. I doubt it. And so the principle is very firm. If he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, "I repent," forgive him. That's how it ought to work. And what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a promise not to bring up a matter again. And so you are obliged, when you grant forgiveness, you are obliged not to say, have you done it again? That's our obligation. And so the answer to the question is again, no. We don't wait for fruit. Well, another question follows immediately. Lord, if this is what I have to do, I need a lot more faith. Look at verse 5 in Luke 17. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Said, Lord, you expect us to do this? We need a lot more faith to do this. Do we really need more faith? Do we? Look at the answer the Lord Jesus gives. Verse 6 in Luke 17. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. If you had faith that was as big as this little bitty seed, you could say to this tree over here, get up and walk into the ocean. You don't need more faith. The answer is not more faith. The answer is doing what Jesus says. It's as simple as that. And that's an amazing thing. I really think it is. A huge amount of faith is not necessary for us, for any of us, to obey the Lord Jesus. It really isn't. And so, I think it is very possible for us to follow the words of the Lord Jesus here. To do what? To grant forgiveness when requested, upon repentance, and also to keep in mind that love covers a multitude of sins. It's also possible for us to do that without requesting a lot of evidence. We need simply go on the word of an individual. And we don't need a lot more faith. We simply don't. To follow the Lord Jesus. It's very simple. But it also can be very, very productive in our Christian lives. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, help us. Help us, we pray, to be forgiving people. And help us, Father, to be full of love. Love which covers not just a few, but a multitude of sins. And through this, O God, I pray that you will bind together individual families, and that you will bind together families in the church. And Father, where there are situations that we encounter as individuals, whether it be in our work or in our play, where the words of Jesus apply, help us to apply them. And help us, Father, not to make excuses or ask questions, but simply to do what Jesus requires. In being forgiving, we pray in His name. Amen.